Welcome back. Is the pandemic over, or soon to be endemic? Experts disagree. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb, he recently said, quote, we're close to the end of the pandemic phase of this virus, but former Biden advisor Andy Slavitt is saying the opposite, quote, one too many smart people has told me or said on TV this week that the pandemic is over. Here to help break down the debate is Dr. Jeremy Faust, emergency medicine physician, Brigham and Women's Hospital. Doctor, thank you for joining us today. Is it too soon to be discussing this? Where do you come down in this debate?
Thanks for having me. Well, it's always difficult to predict the future, as people like to say. And I think that both Andy Slavitt and Scott Gottlieb are making different points. I don't know if they really disagree, if you really put the screws to them on the details. We certainly do not expect the kind of mayhem, death and destruction that we saw last winter, but I also don't think anyone is under the illusion that we are on the cusp of herd immunity. I think the question is, moving forward, how do we address the challenge that faces us? I think that one way to think about this is actually to think about the threat security level color system that we had with Homeland Security after 9/11. It was always orange. And so we got rid of it because it was useless. We're going to have to be more nimble than that. I think that what we need to start doing is thinking about when to push and when to flex and when to hold back, when to stand up and when to stand down.
Well, and along those lines, I'm just reading a report here from Bloomberg about hospitals in the western part of the U.S., how they are seeing an uptake in ICU rates, particularly in Colorado. Is it simply the case that it's that time of year, or should we be more concerned that this is potentially the start of a new trend here, another wave?
I think these waves are so unpredictable, and they start and end for different reasons. They start because there's an outbreak of Delta or something else, and they end not because we've exhausted the possible targets, but because a lot of people read the news and they change their behavior. There's a feedback loop. Now, every time we go through one of those waves, the only upside is that at the end of it, there are more people walking around with protection, either by way of infection, vaccination, or both. So I expect that these flare-ups will continue to occur. Doesn't necessarily augur for a systemic-wide flare-up, but it certainly is always a warning. I think that when we saw things like in Georgia this summer where so many kids were hospitalized, that wasn't something that couldn't happen anywhere else. It can happen anywhere. And so I think that the way to respond to this is to monitor closely and respond, and not to ever shrug it off as, oh, it's just one place, nor to catastrophize and say, oh, this is the beginning of the end. I think that we have to be more nuanced.
Yeah, and it is interesting that you note that feedback loop, because it is important. We talk about it on the show. People notice behaviors, and they do, in fact, change. I want to shift gears slightly to the Moderna versus Pfizer and some of the side effects that we're seeing and some of the research that's coming out now. Moderna is saying that their COVID vaccine has fewer breakthrough cases than Pfizer, but higher myocarditis rates in young men. So can you break that down for us as well?
Sure. My overall assessment here is we have to be very clear on what it is we're measuring at all times. There's breakthrough infection, and then there's severe illness and hospitalization. I happen to be of the belief that breakthrough infection, which is having an infection after vaccination, is almost inevitable in the long term. I think that these vaccines were not really designed with prevention of infection in mind. And they happen to do that, and it's really great that they do that. They seem to decrease spread as well. Delta evades some of that, but I still think there's good protection. But on the severe illness and hospitalization piece, these vaccines continue to perform extremely well. I think there clearly is a mounting case that there's an edge for Moderna. But I also think that it's really more on paper. I think that when you really line up 100 people who got one or the other, it really would just be a difference of one person maybe who's hospitalized. And that's right now. It could very well be that in the long term, these things even out. I got Pfizer. I don't regret it. I'm not boosted, by the way. And if I do boost, I'm not necessarily going to boost with Moderna because the antibody levels might be higher. I probably would just stick with Pfizer. And all to say that I think that we are spoiled. We have these products that work so incredibly well, and they have a very, very rare side effects. And we watch these things. We want to know that from an epidemiological perspective. But in terms of ending the pandemic or really maximizing utility, the number one thing is just to get the unvaccinated something. And the mRNA vaccines right now both are performing extremely well. And even the J&J, I think, has gotten short shrift. It's also doing very well against severe disease.
Yes, that is an important point that it, early on they discovered it prevented hospitalizations quite effectively, especially in older patients. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Aaron Rodgers and that continuing saga here, just because it's emblematic of the vaccine mandate debate. Just wondering what your thoughts are on the matter.
Well, I think that as a person who consumes information and news, I'm always disturbed when people are way outside of their element and they're going to not reputable sources for their information. There is a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of people asking questions, but there's also a lot of really good, solid information. We know so much about these vaccines. We know about their safety. And so it's disappointing when someone who has all the resources and, quite frankly, the education of someone like Aaron Rodgers gets it wrong and also sets a bad example for people. The thing that we all know is that this virus is much more dangerous for older people, but it does absolutely hit young people. And yeah, the odds, if you roll the dice, are that you'd be okay if you're younger. But when you roll the dice millions and millions and millions of times, you have tens and hundreds of thousands of deaths in young people. And so when Aaron Rodgers does something like this, undermines the vaccine confidence in young people, there really could be a harm to that. And that's the thing that I don't think that I've heard enough of. He seems upset that he was dragged through the mud, but I don't know if he really realizes the effect that these things have. I don't want to have to treat young people, and I do have to treat young people because not enough of them are vaccinated.
Yeah, a very, very passionate subject here. Thank you for all your thoughts, Dr. Jeremy Faust, emergency medicine physician, Brigham and Women's Hospital.